I want to begin tonight just by reminding you of something I've said often, and that is that the real you is not what people see. The real you is not your body. The real you lives inside of your body. Your body is just a temporary house where your soul lives. The real you is what the Bible calls your soul. And the Bible has a lot to say about your soul. For example, the Bible says that your soul is extremely valuable. It's valuable to God, and it ought to be valuable to you. Let me show you what it says in Mark chapter 8, 36 and 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, as we think about the body and the soul, let me use an illustration that I used in another sermon about 7 years, 6 or 7 years ago. It's the illustration of chewing gum. Just by a show of hands, how many people are gum chewers? How many of y'all chew gum on a fairly regular basis, okay? I'm not a big gum chewer. I rarely chew gum, but my wife is a gum chewer. She likes to chew gum, and a lot of times she chews gum while we're traveling in the car. We've been in the car a lot lately, so she's chewed a lot of gum. But my wife is kind of a, I won't say nervous, but she's got a lot of energy, and she can never just do one thing at a time. If she's watching a movie on television, she has to watch a movie and fold laundry, or she has to watch a movie and do the ironing, or she has to watch a movie and do her crossword puzzle. She can't just do one thing at a time. She's just got all this energy. Well, folks, when you're driving, and she drives 90% of the time, and when she's driving, there's not much you can do besides drive. You can't fold laundry while you're driving. You can't iron while you're driving. I get on to her for getting on that phone while she's driving. You're not supposed to look at Facebook while you're driving. Can I have an amen? Sometimes I'll fall asleep and I'll wake up and catch her. And she'll hear me stir and I'll see her throw a thing down and pretend like that's actually happened before. But there is one thing you can do while you're driving. You chew gum while you're driving. And so I want you to just imagine that Nancy and I are driving down the interstate, and I want you to imagine that she pulls out a stick of gum, she unwraps that gum, and then I want you to imagine that she looks at the gum, she looks at the wrapper, and then she cracks the window about that much, throws out the gum, and keeps the wrapper. And then I want you to imagine that I look over, and she's, while she's driving, she's staring at that wrapper, and I look at her, and I say, "Why'd you do that?" She said, "Why'd I do what? Why did you throw out the gum and keep the wrapper?" And imagine that she says to me, "Well, isn't the wrapper the most important part?" And I would say, "No." And imagine that she would say, "Well, I think it is." And I say, "Well, what are you going to do with that wrapper?" And she says, "Oh, I don't know. I think I'll take it home and maybe iron it, get the wrinkles out of it. I think I'll take the shiny side and polish it. I think I'll just, you know, every once in a while pull it out and look at it. Sometimes I'll even hold it in the mirror and I'll look at both sides at once." And then I think to myself, "Well, it's finally happened." They said that eventually it would happen living with me. But it's finally happened. She's lost her mind. Now, what I just illustrated is exactly the way most people live. The real you lives inside of your body, and your body is just the wrapper. And most people focus on the wrapper. When Brother Sean and JR and I go over to the Planet Fitness and work out, sometimes I'll just look at all the people in there. And some of them are on treadmills, and some of them are on stair climbers, and some of them are on stationary bikes, and some of them are lifting weights. And regardless of what they're doing, everybody in there is in there for the same reason. They're all in there to improve the wrapper. They're either trying to make it healthier or they're trying to make it look better. And sometimes I actually stop and I actually think to myself, I wonder how many people in this room have given 1 second's thought today about their soul, which is, of course, the most important part of them. Now, when it comes to the human soul is comprised of three parts. The human soul is comprised of the heart, the mind, and the will. So if you can go to the next slide, that is what the human soul is comprised of. It is comprised of the heart, the mind, and the will. So let me talk about these three things briefly, and then I'm going to apply it to the truth will set you free. All right, first of all, within the human soul, God has given you a heart with which to feel. A heart with which to feel. Have you ever heard somebody say this? You finish it. I love you from the bottom of my heart. See, we're not talking about the organ that pumps blood. We're talking about the seat of your emotions. Sometimes somebody will say this, I love you from the depths of my soul. Anytime you feel any kind of an emotion, whether it be love or hate, whether it be serenity or restlessness, whether it be anger or compassion, anytime you feel any kind of an emotion, you are feeling it in your soul. And you are feeling it from that part of the soul that the Bible calls the heart. And so within the human soul, God has given you a heart with which to feel. Not only that, but secondly, God has given you a mind with which to think. Now, there are some who call themselves materialists. And materialists are the ones who reject the idea that man has a soul. Therefore, they say, you cannot distinguish between the mind and the brain. And they say that thought processes are really nothing more than just chemical reactions within the brain. And they try to say that the human mind doesn't really exist. It's just the function of an organ that we call the brain. For example, one professor of psychology by the name of George Paxinos said this. He said, many people today believe they possess a soul. While conceptions of the soul differ, many would describe it as an invisible force that appears to animate us. But as a neuroscientist and psychologist, I have no use for the soul. Then he says, on the contrary, all functions attributable to the soul can be explained by the workings of the brain. And so he would say that there's no such thing as a human soul that lives inside of you, and that thought processes are nothing more than functions of the brain. That love and hate are nothing more than functions of the brain. They're just chemical reactions, and that's all there is to it. Well, I like what John Lennox said about that. John Lennox is an Oxford mathematician, and he is a brilliant Christian apologist. If you've never listened to John Lennox, you owe it to yourself to do so. It was Nancy's brother that told me about John Lennox, and he's got several videos on YouTube. But John Lennox, if he's ever talking to an atheistic scientist, and he's talked to many world-famous atheistic scientists, sometimes they'll ask John Lennox, who is a brilliant man, how is it possible for a man of your intelligence to be a Christian? And then John Lennox will say, well, let me ask you a question. What do you do science with? And they often start to say the mind until they remember that that's no longer politically correct, that concept is no longer acceptable. And so they pause for a moment, and then they say, well, I do science with my brain. And then John Lennox will say, well, tell me about your brain. Tell me how it came into existence. Give me a short history of the brain. And they'll say, oh, well, that's easy. The brain is the end product of a mindless, unguided natural process called evolution. And then John Lennox says, well, let me ask you this. If you had a computer in your laboratory and you knew for a fact that that computer was put together as the result of a mindless, unguided process, would you trust it? And he said, I always press them for an answer, and without exception, they say no. And then John Lennox says, then why are you putting all of your trust in a brain that you think came together by mindless, unguided natural processes. C.S. Lewis dealt with this a long time ago in his book on miracles. C.S. Lewis said it like this. He said, "No argument can be valid that undermines rationality. And if we believe that rationality is simply the end product of mindless, unguided natural processes, then that is the end of not only all sciences, but of all meaning." So as Christians, we not only believe that we have an organ called the brain, but we also believe that within our soul, there is a mind with which to think. And there is a mind that is capable of being rational. And by the way, the most rational thing you can believe is that the Bible is God's word once you really study it. And so the human soul, within the human soul, God has given us a heart with which to feel. God has given us a mind with which to think. And then thirdly, within the human soul, God has given us a will with which to act. In other words, God has given to man something that separates us from animals. And that is a free will. In other words, we do not just operate on the basis of instinct. We operate on the basis of a free will. That is why we as human beings are capable of doing that which is actually contrary to instinct. We can actually exercise our free will and do that which is contrary to instinct. And the greatest example of that would be abortion. One of the greatest instincts that God has given to a woman is to protect her young. Just recently, I took my grandkids out to Scotty and Jordan Hoods. And of course, Brian and Amy live there as well. And we took our grandkids out there to see all the animals. And they were able to pet the goats and the cows and to see all the rabbits. And we were out there looking at the animals, and we were walking down this little road behind the shed. And all of a sudden, this chicken went across the road. This big hen went across the road. So I just turned to the group, and I said, "Why did the chicken cross the road?" No, I'm kidding. I didn't really say that. But because some smart aleck would have said, to get to the other side. But this chicken crossed the road, and then it was the cutest thing. 10 little baby chicks just following right behind her. I mean, they were so young that they were still fluffy. Didn't even have feathers, still had the fluffiness, whatever you call that. What do you call that? The down? Still covered with down. And they were following that mother hen. I started walking towards them. Man, I see a cute little chick. What do I want to do? I don't pick it up. And Brian Hood said, "You better watch it." And I said, "Why?" He said, "You get too close to them chicks," he said, "that mother hen will tear you up." I was talking just yesterday to Josh Hawley. He said that he and his family were hiking in the Smoky Mountains. He said, "We are going down the hiking trail. All of a sudden, we looked off to the side, and there's a baby bear just a few feet from us." And he said, "My first thought was, I hope I'm not standing between this baby bear and his mama." Mothers, it's instinctual in any species. Mothers will do anything to protect their young, even sacrifice their own life to protect their young. And you're going to tell me that abortion is not contrary to instinct? And why does it happen? Because God has given us a free will. And we can actually make choices that are contrary to instinct. So what have we learned? All right, here's what we've learned so far. The human soul, I want you to say it with me, consists of, number one, say it with me, a heart with which to feel. Number two, a mind with which to think. And number three, a will with which to act. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, and what does this have to do with "the truth shall set you free"? I mean, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Here's what it has to do with it. If we want the freedom that God wants us to have, and if we want to be everything that God wants us to be, then let me tell you something. We need a heart that is not held captive by the world, the flesh, and the devil. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world." Love is an emotion that you feel in your heart. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man loves the world, then what is also true? The love of the Father is not in him. So if your heart is held captive by the world, it's not free. And it needs to be set free. All right? If we want to be everything that God wants us to be, we need a mind that is not held captive by the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need a mind that has been set free. And if we're going to be everything God wants us to be, we need a will that is not being held captive by the flesh. But we need a will that is free to act according to the dictates of God's word. Are you with me so far? Now, there's only one thing that's going to set the heart free, and what is that? Truth. What's going to set us free? Truth. There's only one thing that's going to set the mind free, and what is that? Truth. And there's only one thing that's going to set the will free, and what is that? Truth. All right. Thankfully, the Gospel of John identifies three things as truth. One of them applies to the heart, one of them applies to the mind, and one of them applies to the will. And this is really the key to freedom. It's what RU is all about. And it's what my life and your Christian life is all about. And it's one of the most profound truths that I've ever had the privilege of learning. So let me just quickly share it with you and we'll be through. All right, first of all, if we're going to have a heart that is free, if we're going to have a heart that is free, it's the truth that will set us free. So in what form does truth come to the heart? Well, here's what the Gospel of John says. According to the Gospel of John, for the heart, here's what God has given us. All right, now go ahead. For the heart, God has given us a person to love, and that's Jesus. Now, in the Bible, Jesus is identified as truth. Truth. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so for the heart, next slide, for the heart, God has given us a person to love. For the heart, truth comes to us in the form of a person to love. Now let me just stop right here and let me just say this. Falling in love with Jesus Christ with all of your heart will take care of a myriad of other issues. Seriously. One of the goals of RU is to not give these people a set of rules, but to help them fall in love with Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? Let me illustrate it like this. Do you remember I mentioned recently in another sermon, do you remember when the Apostle Peter denied Christ three times? And the last time he threw in a few cuss words just for emphasis? Well, then Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. And the next time that Peter saw Jesus, after he rose from the dead, Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. And what was the question? Do you love me? Now, isn't it interesting, Brother Stephen? He didn't say, Peter, are you going to cuss anymore? Why? Because loving Jesus just takes care of that. He didn't say, Sean, are you going to deny me anymore? Why? Because if you love him, it takes care of that. He didn't say, are you going to cut and run anymore? No. Why? Because just loving him is going to take care of all of that. I'm telling you that when you fall in love with somebody, you do not want to do things that purposely hurt them. When you truly love, listen, I've been married for 42 years. And I am still madly in love with that woman right there. And I don't look for ways to hurt her. Now, part of that is selfish because if mama ain't happy. So part of that is selfish, I'll agree. But the real reason that I look for ways to please her is because I love her. This was one of those rare mornings where I actually woke up before she did. And every morning she makes my coffee, so today I made her coffee. And wouldn't you know it, she slept until it got cold. When I finally woke her up and said, I'm leaving, I had to get here early today because I had to prepare for a funeral and for tonight. And so when I woke her up, I said, hey, it's time to get up. And I said, your coffee's here, but it's too cold to drink. And so I guess you went downstairs and put it in the microwave. But listen, I look for ways to please her because I love her. And the when you just fall madly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll take care of a myriad of other issues. Amen? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so for the heart, God has given us a person to love, Jesus, and he is truth. All right, well, what about the mind? Well, here's what God's given us for the mind. For the mind, truth comes in the form of a book to read. God has given us a book to read, the Bible, and the Bible is identified as truth. Notice what it says in John 17, 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Now read it out loud. Thy word is truth. Folks, listen to me. If you're not in this book, reading it, studying it, believing it, and applying it, then I guarantee you, your mind is held captive by the world. It's not free. The world says, the one that dies with the most toys wins. In other words, life is all about accumulating. Life is about having all the fun that you can have. You only go around once, so grab all the gusto you can grab. That's what the world puts into your head. The truth says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? The truth shall set you free. The world says, don't get mad, get even. That's what the world's putting into your head. But the truth says, love your enemy, pray for them which despitefully use you. The truth shall set you free. The world says, you can change your biological gender just by wishing it. And there are 56 genders to choose from. Be funny if it weren't true. The truth says, and God made them male and female. The truth shall set you free. And so for the mind, truth comes in the form of a book to read. And I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. If you're not reading it, studying it, memorizing it, applying it, your mind is held captive by the world. You've been brainwashed and don't even know it. I mean, sometimes the world talks about Christians being brainwashed. There's nobody more brainwashed than somebody who has immersed themselves in worldly culture. This is what they call, June is what they call Gay Pride Month, and it's everywhere. I was listening to Fox News, and here comes a commercial for Pride Month. I was watching Andy Griffith, a family television show, and here comes a commercial for Pride Month. My grandkids were watching SpongeBob SquarePants, a cartoon, and here came a commercial for Pride Month. There's nobody more brainwashed than somebody who's been immersed in the world and in our culture. And so that's the reason we need to get our mind saturated in this book. The truth shall set you free. All right, what about the will? Well, for the will, truth comes in the form of a spirit to yield to, and that's the Holy Spirit. Let me give you John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, say it out loud, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, we have a will with which to act. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, unless you yield your will to the will of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led around by the world, the flesh, and the devil. I mean, like you'd let, have you ever seen a ring in a cow's nose, and you lead that cow around by his nose? I'm telling you, unless you surrender your will to the will of the Holy Spirit, the world, the flesh, and the devil's just going to lead you around by the nose. Sometimes people say, well, how can I say no to sin? You can't, but the Spirit of God within you can. I've often used this illustration. I like to watch boxing. And back in the day, one of my favorite boxers to watch was Mike Tyson. They called him Iron Mike Tyson because when he hit you, you felt like you had been whacked over the head by an iron bar. I mean, that's how strong the man was. And some of his fights only lasted mere seconds. I mean, there are some fights that the first time Mike Tyson hit the opponent, he went down as if he'd been whacked over the head with an iron bar. Now, I want you to imagine that when I was in my prime at 30 years of age, and when Mike Tyson was in his prime at 30 years of age, how long do you think I would have lasted in the ring with Mike Tyson? Yeah, till he threw the first punch. He wouldn't even have had to hit me. The wind from it, if he missed, would have knocked me over. But there's another fighter named Evander Holyfield. And one day I watched Evander Holyfield beat the tar out of Mike Tyson. I don't know if it's right to say that in church, beat the tar, but I just said it. I watched Evander Holyfield. Matter of fact, Mike Tyson was getting beat up so bad, he did something that fighters aren't supposed to do. He bit his ear off. Seriously, he bit the man's ear off. Now, I want you to imagine that I get in the ring to fight Mike Tyson, and all of a sudden, I'm filled with the spirit of Evander Holyfield. And I've got all the strength, all the power, all the ability, and all the talent that Evander Holyfield has. Now I have a chance. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to facing the world of flesh and the devil, you have something even greater than that. You're filled with somebody who can never, ever be defeated. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. And so every day we get up, we say, Lord, I yield my spirit and I yield my will to yours. Fill me and strengthen me and give me the strength to do right today. And the truth, what? Shall set you free. And so, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. That right there, Sean, that's what RU is all about. We're trying to get these folks and these folks. It's not just RU, amen? We're trying to help those people and all of us to fall in love with Christ, to yield our hearts to Him. And when we do, the truth will set us free. We're trying to fill their minds with the Word of God. That's why we emphasize Scripture memory. And as we fill our minds with God's Word, then God's thoughts become our thoughts, and the truth shall set us free. And we're trying to teach them not to fight these addictions and not to fight these temptations in their own strength, but to fight them in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And when they do it, the truth shall set them free. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? Amen.